On the overcast afternoon of June 7, 2020, thousands of protesters flooded London's streets, where their presence threw into relief an emptiness that the global pandemic had brought to Britain's capital. The void of pedestrian and traffic hum amplified the demonstrators' voices as they reverberated through the city's edifices dedicated to the empire. Indeed, it was the empire and its conflicted past that fueled the crowd's demands. They marched to Westminster, where an oversized statue of Winston Churchill beckoned Parliament to take care of the liberal order that he had so valiantly championed and protected during the high noon of Britain's empire. In death, as in life, Churchill was a figure of outsized proportions, and his often repeated quotes have stood the test of time. Never give in, never give in. Never, never, never. He famously intoned in 1941 to a cadre of impressionable young men at his exclusive alma mater, Harrow School. Yet on that spring day in 2020, the inspired crowd delivered a new message. Clad largely in black with accompanying face masks, the masses gathered around Churchill's statue with fists raised as they chorused over and again, "Churchill was a racist." A protester with spray paint in hand soon struck out the former prime minister's name on the monument's pedestal. The damning words being chanted became the statue's new epitaph. Demands for racial justice swept through Britain at a time when COVID-19 struck its black population with the same disproportion already evident in prison populations and police violence. Churchill was not the only historic figure now held to account. Around the time his statue was defaced, another physical testament to empire also went the way of history. In Bristol, a city built on profits gained from the trade and labor of enslaved people, Black Lives Matter demonstrations ignited from backdrafts across the Atlantic. Edward Colston's statue became the target of protesters' fury, and it's not difficult to understand why. Colston was director of the Royal African Company when it forcibly transported around 85,000 African men, women, and children in conditions so inhumane that nearly a quarter of them perished before they reached the Americas. For over a century, his statue was a monument, for some, to the extraordinary beneficence that Colston bestowed on the city. For others, it represented a nation that still boasted an imperial pride built not only on shameless racial assumptions, but also on the backs of countless enslaved and colonized peoples across Britain's empire. An empire that, in its heyday, covered over a quarter of the world's landmass and claimed 700 million people as its subjects. The protesters rendered their judgment when they toppled Colston's statue and launched it into the River Avon. The silence of Colston's final resting place stood in stark contrast to the debates over the past that haunted and divided the nation. In the eyes of many, Britain had been the purveyor of a benign imperialism that was the standard bearer for all other empires. For certain, there were blots, like the trade in enslaved peoples. But on history's balance sheet, any ill-begotten wealth had been more than atoned for through Britain's largesse. When empire's aperture widened to the post-emancipation 19th and 20th centuries, the narrative persisted and produced imperial icons like Cecil John Rhodes. Founder of the British South African Company, Rhodes enacted a grandiose Cape to Cairo vision with an oppressive hand of economic extraction. He was, according to Oxford's Oriel College, a businessman and a political dealmaker who prosecuted wars in pursuit of his goals. Rhodes was also a great race patriot who had amassed a fortune, in his own words, exploiting the cheap slave labor that is available from the natives of the colonies.